document is there's a lease, you are in the building, you are living in the building for the year, you've got the money on your budget. It's interdepartmental. That it should be a valid case to allow departments to then make advance payments. Any leasing in private sector works on an advance basis. If I go lease a flat, I must put down the month's rent beginning of the month and not at the end. And there's no reason why it shouldn't work like that in between departments as well. So that mechanism we recommend to change around, get the money up front, offset the expenditure against it. But it will also be very important because there's other costs linked to these leases. There's property rights and taxes and other costs linked to these leases. And it will be very important. And sometimes there's capital expenditure linked to it. It would be very important that the department should improve its system, that where there's other costs involved here, that invoice which you give to the other user department should have a proper breakdown of the cost, and you should be able to, in a reasonable time, go back to the very source documentation that makes up that expenditure, that you can actually prove to that department what are they paying for. For the normal straight lease of the office accommodation, it's fairly easy, but when it gets to those other dimensions, it becomes more complicated, and therefore, once again, you need a very good system for the management of the leases. Maintenance, very important. First of all, we've got a challenge in terms of the accounting of certain maintenance of the properties, and you will see that's a qualification area in the audit report of the property management trading entity, where we are saying that certain of the capital maintenance is actually directly offset against the revenue from the lease income, and in accounting principles that is not allowed. So that is something that should be looked at from an accounting point of view. There was a question about and then of course like maintenance should be ideally planned and budgeted for. You know, it's very important that you do have a good system where you can have proper record keeping of that. Then if you look about irregular expenditure, and the question was about what system should one have for irregular expenditure. Currently what you should have is you should have a mechanism where all irregular expenditure is first of all prevented, but then if it happens you need to detect it. So how should it work is you should, if you know there is an area where there is a risk of irregular expenditure, management should go and review the transactions, identify all the irregular expenditure, and currently there's an irregular expenditure register which is prescribed by National Treasury. All the irregular expenditures should then be documented in that irregular expenditure register, and then they should be followed up. The register makes provision for that. It should be followed up. The follow-up should be documented. The action should be documented. And then the CFO can use that register to get all the irregular expenditure to compile the financial statements. So there's literally a register for the tracking. But what is important, it doesn't help you've got the register and management doesn't actively review the transactions to identify any possible irregular expenditure. In the area of supply chain management, what we recommend, if you look at the detail in this document, what we recommend is we're saying there should be proper policies and procedures, first of all. Then there should be proper training on those policies and procedures. Then comes in management to review, and of course internal audit. And there was a couple of questions with regard to internal audit, and I would like to take you to page 15 of this document. In the middle of page 15 of this document, there's a heading internal audit. And you will see that we raise two issues, one with regard to the department and one with regard to the CIDB. And then we actually there report to say that the internal audit function did not assess the operational procedure and monitoring mechanisms over all transfers made and received, including transfers in terms of the Annual of Division of Revenue Act. So this is actually a very specific legislative requirement that internal audit should focus on those specific areas. So we are saying that internal audit could not get to that. It's a capacity issue, and I raised it in the beginning of the session to say that internal audit should, first of all, there should be a very strongly capacitated internal audit section in this department. So there is currently internal audit. They do some internal audit work, but in our view, they're totally undercapacitated to get to what they should get to. Then once you've got them capacitated, then you need the mechanism where management should implement, should review their reports, implement that recommendation. And this all should happen under the direct supervision of the audit committee. So the audit committee will have to also play a very strong role there. But ultimately, it's the responsibility of the accounting officer to make sure that the work of internal audit is taken seriously. Because what should then happen is management should have the policies and procedures. Internal audit should review whether those policies and procedures are implemented, whether the controls are effective, and then actually report back to management on the status of that control environment. So if you look at our key control assessments, and there's somewhere in the document this high level assessment of the key control environment, you will see that if you look at the public works and the PMTE key control environment, it's mainly red. We are saying that those key controls, which is the responsibility of management to implement, is not effective at this point in time. So there's a lot of work to be done on policies and procedures. There's a lot of work to be done on training. But then also very important, there's a lot of work to be done in terms of accountability. When there's non-compliance with legislation, when there's non-compliance with policies and procedures, appropriate action should be taken against non-transgressors. And you will see that in this report and in the audit report, we actually mention and report to say that we believe that action is not taken quickly enough in cases where there is non-compliance with laws and regulations. And with regard to the IE work system, yes, we have made recommendations to management on the IE work system, and basically what we are saying is we're just highlighting to management to say we think it's taking too long to implement the system. And in the meantime, the current systems that are being used are very vulnerable, and the controls surrounding that systems are not functioning. It's difficult for us to prescribe the system to management. In this environment, it's a unique environment to a certain extent, but to a certain extent also not unique, because there's many big companies out there that manage huge asset portfolios. So it's ultimately for management to go and do the assessment of what would be the system that would best provide for their needs. Is it an off-the-shelf system, or is it an in-house developed system? We as auditors don't prescribe that, but what we are saying, there are key elements that management should look at when they look at any system, and the implementation time of a system shouldn't take too long. Currently, what happened is that the IE work system was at a point where it was not fully functioning, it was in the developmental stage. And then from an audit point of view, it doesn't make a lot of sense to audit that system already, because it's not yet functional. So that's why we are saying is that the department should be very careful here, that there's a risk that this system might become redundant before it's even fully functional and implemented. And therefore, management should have a significant focus on this system. I think the Honourable Member picked up very well on our audit report there on where we report on the achievement of the targets, and that was the whole intention behind that section in the audit report, to focus the user just briefly on the total achievements, and that one can draw the connection between the achievements and the budget and the actual expenditure. The question with regard to the over expenditure and personnel expenditure is a bit of a difficult one. I think at this point in time, you know, the suspensions will normally come from different programs. It won't all come from program one. So suspensions will have an impact on your budget. But I think in this case, it's more a case, and maybe the department should rather give detailed feedback on that. It's more a case of that there were some unfunded posts which were at the department. And that is something which the department should look at very, very clearly going forward. what are the resources that we need to fulfill our function, and it goes for both the department and the property management trading entity. What are the posts that we need, how much will that cost us, and then that it's budgeted for in line with that. But the key thing is that there should be an approved establishment, and that approved establishment should address the real needs of the department going forward. One other important thing before I forget is that one should look, of course, as one of the areas of focus in the department on the current vacancies and acting positions in very key positions on the at the department. There's currently an acting CFO that needs to focus on both the department and the property management training. And that's just why we are saying is that one of the recommendations that we would like to make is that the department should look at its current establishment. Should there maybe not be two CFOs, one for the department and one for the property management trading entity? You know, so one cannot take the old model and keep on with this model. One will have to look at the resourcing of these two entities. And one very important aspect which you will see in the rest of the document is also, we are again mentioning, is also in the audit report, we are again saying that the department and the leadership and the executive should look at the current model of the property management trading entity. You know, is it the best model? Should it be another model? And we are actually reporting to say that the current business case and the current way in which the trading entity is run has not yet been finally approved by National Treasury. There was initial approvals way back in 2007, and the idea was that the department should go back and develop the final model and go with the proposal to National Treasury, and that never happened. So it's critical that the whole business model around the property management trading entity should be revisited. To determine is there not a better way to go forward with this. Mr. Cerotti will respond to that.
Can all members, can this be done through me? I'm sharing here. You shouldn't approach Mr. Lawrence directly if there's anything comes through me. Honorable Mr. Lawrence.
I continue, Chairperson. Okay, I think any of the questions up to now that I've missed, if the members can just help me before I...
Honorable Dreyer.
Yes, Madam Chair, there was actually something, a follow-up on the salaries where there was an overspend. I've asked the question before at a different committee, another committee. I actually asked it at the Appropriations Committee at the last term. And the answer we got there was different from the explanation today, so I need clarity on that. The answer we got there was money was spent on contracts first. People were appointed for contracts, and that wasn't planned, and that's why there was an overspend. Now we hear also that there were unfunded posts. People were appointed in unfunded posts. Is that the same thing or the two different things? I just need clarity on that. And then, of course, my other question.
Listen, it's basically the same thing. Unfunded means if you've appointed a contractor and there wasn't if it was a funded position and you appoint a contractor and there's no one in that position, it won't have an impact. But if the departments use contractors to supplement the establishment when there's not permanent approved post on the establishment, and that is why the total expenditure is then more than budgeted for, and that's why I said if that is needed on a continuous basis, then the department should relook the establishment to say, but is my establishment really what I need? If I continuously have to appoint people on a contract basis to get my basic fill my basic needs, then you need to revisit your establishment.
No, I want to check, Honorable Chair. I think, am I correct if I conclude to say that there is a leadership deficit in the department plus in the internal audit? So there is no one that is helping each other because my understanding is that the internal auditors has got can make a recommendation of the policy that need to be done. If they are not acting, it means to say that the department is not getting the value for money. But Chair, I want to check, what is the role of the Treasury to assist the department around the issue of spending CAPEX? Do they have any role? Because all the time when we get the report from the audit, we don't hear the role of the Treasury in assisting the department around this particular matter. Are they really also following the spending of the appropriation that has been given to different departments?
Madam Chair, just on a point of order here. We've had a set of questions and then answers. We had follow-up questions for clarity where answers may not have been completely clear. But we haven't had answers on all those questions. Are we now moving on to a second set of questions, or are we still for clarity on the first set? Because my question hasn't been answered yet, and it seems we're now moving to a second set of questions. This question is very important, and I need an answer today.
I said earlier on, when the Deputy Minister left, I said Mr. Lawrence was what to do. What you are doing now, there are follow-ups. You will get an answer on Mr. Lawrence is here. Mr. Lawrence, over to you.
Chairperson,
can I have order, please, Honourable Members? That is written.
Honourable Chairperson, with your permission, I'll respond to the Honourable Member. I will just start by responding and giving, I guess, a bit of clarity in terms of a couple of things. And the first thing is, it is not general practice for us to isolate or pick on a particular transaction and elevate it to the audit report. For example, we will raise an issue that says irregular expenditure has been identified to the tune of X, which is in the report. We then don't go and list the transactions that make up the that value or balance that we reflect on the audit report. What we do though is all detailed exceptions that have been identified by the audit process are captured in a report to management, which is the management report, which will then be directed to the department and is not tabled. Now, the issue that I wanted to say, obviously when it comes to this particular transaction of Nkandla, there are some limitations. And I will cover that as I close my comments. But I think there are a couple of things that we also need to reflect on. And the first thing is that you know, an intention of a program which then consequently drives the activity is really the domain of the executive authority and to an extent this committee as well. Our responsibility is to reflect on whether the department has a set of controls that are conducive to sound financial management. So we do report on that. Then the second one is whether the transactions have occurred in terms of the spirit and letter of the law. And I think there are clear findings that we have elevated to the audit report that indicates that generally that is not the case, particularly in procurement at this department. Whether the achievement of objectives of the department as articulated in the performance plan are accurately reflected in the annual report, we reflect on that as well through what we call an audit of performance information. And those are the kind of things that also give rise to quite a vibrant discussion that we had earlier around this area as well. I think the members picked on one of the areas of expanded public works, and that's where you pick up the service delivery issues as well. Then the other thing, which is the reality, is that We are dealing with a department that has received a disclaimer of audit opinion. And again, just to emphasize, it is not general practice for us to isolate specific exceptions, in the audit report. I think where further information, such as the cost of the project, is required and further detail and intent and so forth and so forth, really the first prize is to get a response that comes from the department. I think other options, I guess, that are available, is if perhaps the committee were to engage a special factual finding or a special investigation into the project, and I think the public protector has made a pronouncement in that area, I think, if my memory serves me correct. Mm-hmm. And of course, any other mechanism to request the declassification, and that is clearly outside of our scope as auditors, and it would be inappropriate for me to comment on that. Now, that being said, I'm obviously limited by the issues of confidentiality. And the second one is the substantive one, which is really the issue of top secret classification of the project. And I think please accept, Honourable Member, that I need to be cautious in dealing with this matter because of the classification issue as well. And I would rather ask that the department deal with it further. Thanks.
Honourable Deputy Minister.
No, thank you. Everybody's passing the buck here. Mr. Lawrence passed the buck here. First of all, because he's not passing the buck, first of all, let me convey the apologies of the Minister. There's a cabinet meeting in Pretoria today, and he's obviously had to attend that, so he's not present. Secondly, to perhaps towards the end, we can make general comments about the auditor's, the AG's report to us, so let me park those to one side. But just immediately to thank our colleagues from not for the way it's passed the buck now, but in general to thank them for the scrupulous work they've done, which we really appreciate. It really guides us as the Minister and Deputy Minister in seeking to turn around a department that's in very serious trouble. On the Nkandla matter, the Deputy President, Helena Montlante, said the other day, chairperson, that South Africa has been reduced to two places, Marikana and Mangaung, but I think he left out one other place, but perhaps Nkandla is not unrelated to one of the other places. But anyhow, I'm not in a position, not because I'm trying to hide anything, I'm not in a position to go into detail because I don't have detail to hand. But I think it would be important just to perhaps clarify our position as the department. First of all, we've heard that it's a department now that has had a disclaimer twice over in two successive years. We know that there's serious corruption in the department and serious dysfunctionality. It's something that the Minister is very seized with. There are criminal charges against some of our senior, former senior colleagues, disciplinary processes against members of them and so on. What we're dealing with in here is an audit of the department and its activities. And we, as I speak now, we can't rule out that there might, in the specific case of this specific project, that there could well have been, but I don't know, so I'm not saying there is. I'm just saying that we need to know, and we're very determined to find out whether there's been an inflation of costs, whether there's been any other problems which have characterized many of the projects that this department has been involved in. So we are very anxious to, and if in the management report, which I've not seen, that the AG has produced, and if there's detail on this particular project, we're very anxious to discover that and to find out whether within the department we need to take action related to this. As I say, we don't know. Well, I don't know at this point whether that's the case or not, and therefore it would be inappropriate to go into detail because I don't have the detail. But to say that we take it seriously, given the background and general problems related to this department, so we can't rule out that there's not been problematic behaviour. That would be our remit, strictly as a department. All of the other issues that have come into the public debate are not within our remit, strictly as the department. So, for instance, policy around presidents or former presidents and the security, that's a matter determined in terms of national key points legislation. That would be the Department of Defense and the Minister of Defense. Security advice would be governed by the Department of Defense and the police service. The ministerial handbook has been mentioned quite a bit. It doesn't apply. I mean, for instance, the security around the former President Mandela, his private residence in the former Transkei, clearly the security is not 100,000 to which to which I'm entitled as a deputy minister, and correctly so. So that's where it is as far as we're concerned. One, we are concerned as a department. We want to say that very clearly, that there might have been, but we don't know, but there might have been inflation of costs. If there is, we need to know that, and we need to take action against that. And we are actively pursuing the matter. At this point, we don't have anything further to say on the matter because, as I say, we're busy digging ourselves, and hopefully we can be assisted in this matter by the AG or any others. We've also taken note clearly that there's an interest from the side of the public protector. We would certainly work very closely with the public protector, as we have in the past, with the SIU if that's required. But let's first try to establish whether there are any suggestions that, in terms of the work undertaken by the Department of Public Works or any of its entities, whether there's any hint of problem in this respect. And that's our remit and that's our area of focus. So thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable
Dreyer.
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you.
But what we should not forget, this meeting is not about this issue. This meeting is about AG's office presenting their report. I thought maybe this issue will be dealt with in a appropriate place, which is a portfolio committee. And the AG's office clearly, Mr. Srodde clearly outlined their role here. Honourable Dreyer.
Madam Chair, I hear what you're saying, but I, with respect, have to disagree with you. We're having a presentation by the Auditor General on the previous financial year's spending and statements. And this project that I've raised, the Nakantla project, was approved during the previous financial year or the previous budget and is now it's largely being spent, although not complete. And we have the right as people, the MPs representing the voters, the people of South Africa, to question and get more information as much as we need from the Auditor General. I have to say I have the highest regard for the Office of the Auditor General. And I'm saying what I'm saying because I have to preface what I'm going to say a little bit later on. I was very privileged when I was a member of the SCOAC, the committee that interviewed and appointed the current Auditor General, because he's really done a great job and he's done us all proud. And I've also served on SCOPA, where we've worked very closely with the Office of the Auditor General, and they are really a source of information and a support source to SCOPA, as well as to other committees. But I must say, having said that, I was today, now, a little bit disappointed with the answer I received from the gentleman to my left, from the Office of the Auditor General, when he indicated transactions were not always in the spirit and the letter of the law. I'm paraphrasing what he said, and he also said it was not their practice to isolate specific projects. So he was kind of trying to duck my question. But I have asked a very specific question. I think he has an obligation to answer very specifically to where a member of parliament asked
a question.
So
each and every office has got its own ethics and mandate. That's the underlining. And Honorable Dreyer, I'm not undermining you, and I'm not sidelining you. I'm saying, can you please be patient on this very issue, and allow Office of the Auditor General to do what is mandated to do in this meeting.
Madam Chair, then on that, if I can continue, I've made that
point.
Honorable
Dreyer,
but I just have another question. And I have another question, Madam Chair.
Honorable Dreyer, not on this very matter.
Not on that matter, from this
report.
Thank you
very much.
That's on the agenda for today, and I have questions from this
report. Thank you very much.
On page 128, I won't be prescribed about how I exercise my oversight role as a member of parliament. On page 128 in the audit agenda, in the annual report, under other reports, the auditor general mentions that an investigation is being conducted to probe the alleged abuse of urgent emergency procurement. I want to know, it says the report was still ongoing at the reporting date. Has it now been completed in the meantime? And if not, when will it be completed? And when will it be tabled to this portfolio committee in Parliament? And then it says under performance audit, that performance audit was conducted. That has been finalized in August already this year, last month. So I'd also like to know, when will that report on this performance audit be tabled in Parliament?
Honourable Madlopa, I saw your hand up.
I think you covered me, Chair, because I wanted to say that as this committee, we have got the history to work together on the issues, and we don't hide anything. And I think as a representative of the people of South Africa, we need not rush issues that we don't have information with and confuse the public. So I wanted to say that we appreciate that the Honourable Member wrote a letter to the Chair, and we trust that our Chair has referred the letter to the relevant authority. And our Minister and Deputy Minister, they have a history in this committee now that they don't hide anything. They take us into confidence even in difficult matters that they have acted on. I think it's correct to say that let us wait, and then the outcome of that letter that has been sent and the responses on it. Honourable Chair, that was my plea, Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Lawrence, can you proceed?
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me quickly just respond to the questions. The question with regard to the investigations, this mainly relates to the ongoing investigations by the SIU. So I think it would be best to get feedback from the SIU from time to time on the progress with the investigations. Yeah, the performance audit, we don't have a tabling date at this point in time. What most probably will happen is that this performance audit has been done at various entities and departments, and I think that once all that work has been done, there will most probably be a joint or a consolidated report that will be tabled, that we can follow up on what the final view of the AG is with regard to that performance audit.
Please, Honourable Dreyer, can you be patient? Can you allow him to finish? You know, it's in my culture, when somebody speaks and you just jump in and say, when? You're saying this person, what is this person saying? It's nothing. Can you allow Mr. Lawrence to do his work, and then I'll give you a chance to make follow-up. Can we agree on that, please? Honourable Lawrence.
There was two other questions, Honourable Chair Members. The one deals with the internal audit and how can they perform their function. And I think what is important to note is that the department seriously needs to address all policies and procedures. And that would make internal audit much more effective. currently there's a challenge with regard to policies and procedures. Some of them are very outdated, some of them are not there, you know. So internal audit, to a certain extent, has to rely a lot on the internal policies and procedures in their internal audit work. So the first point of departure is that there should be proper policies and procedures which should come from management. Then management should, and those policies and procedures should cover key controls. Then management should implement the key controls, and then internal audit can effectively focus on the policies and procedures and the key controls. Then there was a question about the role of National Treasury with regard to capital expenditure. Yes, National Treasury does have a role, but I think what is important is that the department should have a proper capital maintenance plan, you know, and it should be a comprehensive plan which should have long and short term objectives. And then the department can go with that plan to National Treasury to request future funding in the MTF. But to just request based on past spending, might not give you the right capital that you actually need to maintain all the property. So that is also one of the areas that we've discussed with the department that they should focus on, is on maintaining the properties. But you'll have to have very good information on what capital is needed for future funding.
Any follow-ups on the Dreyer?
Madam Chair, with respect, the gentleman hasn't answered the question of when can we expect this performance report to be tabled. It has been finalised, we know. Now we're expecting it to be tabled. When?
While the Office of the Auditor General is still consulting, can we break for 5 minutes? There's tea outside. Can we break for 5 minutes? They are still talking.
Dus 5 verschillende entiteiten. Public Works.
But they all
my fall under.
So I think quote that amount as. Okay. I didn't see.
Corners.
I can be long and I can be short with the rest.
I'll
give you up to quarter two.
Thank you, Chairperson. In the rest of this report, what we do is we really then unpack each of the five reports in detail. And you know, the way that we did it was to whenever an item is relevant just to the PMTE, if you look at page 4, we would just say PMTE. Whenever it's department and PMTE, we would have both. If CIDB, if it was also relevant to CIDB, we would include CIDB. So this will hopefully help you a bit if you want to engage on the other entities as well to know what their key areas are. But what I would like to do for the rest of this session is just to then go in a little bit more detail, but not too much more detail, just to talk about the issues. First issue which is relevant, and if you look at page 4, you will see that it's also in certain instances relevant to the CIDB and the IDT, is supply chain management. So the supply chain management is an area which all the entities need to focus on. It needs to focus on having proper controls, proper policies and procedures, and it needs to comply with all the requirements of supply chain management. Now, if you look at there's another document that we've made available, and this one hopefully you've got in an A3 format. You will see that this document has got on the second page, it's got a heading, Emerging Risks.
We don't have, Mr. Lawrence.
Then it must all be lying there on the table. Okay. That gentleman's going to make it available. This document can be quite helpful in terms of summarizing our discussions here today. The first part of this document is just giving you an key summary, the qualification areas. It gives you an indication of the key control environment, and you'll see here for public works in PMT, it's mainly red, and it just on a high level summarizes the root causes. So this is something which you can take home, you know, and you can keep it for to just give you a quick indication of what is the status of this portfolio. It will tell you when something has regressed, it will tell you when something has stayed the same. But on the second page, there's a very good summary where we summarize top areas of concern. And you will see we start off with immovable assets. We talk about leasing, we talk about commitments, we talk about record keeping. We talk about the compilation of financial statements. We talk about the business case of the PMTE. We talk about the material understanding. We focus on predetermined objectives. Now what is very important is that if you look at the bottom of this page, there's a heading which says emerging risks. And we say the new legislation. And then we give information about the new regulations on supply chain management that came into effect on 7 December 2011. And we're highlighting this because the supply chain management arena is becoming more and more complicated. So in this area, you sit with two challenges. The first one is that it is an area which is very strongly regulated by regulations, by laws, and by practice notes from National Treasury. So there's a lot to comply with, but there is also a high-risk area in terms of potential fraud and irregularities. So this makes supply chain management a very difficult area, and therefore the controls in supply chain management should be very, very comprehensive. Then we also mentioned there that there's a new framework for strategic and annual performance plans that has been issued by National Treasury and which is applicable from the 1st of April 2012. So from an oversight point of view, we're also highlighting this. It's important in that, for instance, if you look at this portfolio, most of the entities are still having difficulties with performance information. So now there's a more comprehensive framework that needs to be complied with from the 1st of April 2012. So it would be important from an oversight point of view that the common each engagement with the accounting officer ensures that the accounting officer has got mechanisms in place to comply with this new framework. Otherwise, it will take very long for all these entities to be able to get a clean audit on performance information. And then it's going to be developments in how departments account for inventories. And if we specifically look at the National Department of Public Works, there's a lot of inventory, and they should be focused on now already to make sure that the department is ready to properly account for the inventory. If you look at our key messages, we try to summarize there for the committee where we believe the focus should be stabilizing the leadership in the department, appointing a permanent DG, appointing a permanent CFO, finalize the business case for the property management trading entity, enhance oversight, focus on accountability for transgressions, policies and procedures. That's something which came out very strongly earlier in our discussion, where we said there should be a significant focus on comprehensive policies and procedures for all business processes, and there should be a lot of focus on record keeping. To get rid of the scope limitation, we need to get to a point where there's proper record keeping so that all documentation and evidence can be provided for audit purposes. Then we say strict implementation of a turnaround plan and of an audit action plan. There's currently various initiatives from the minister and the department to turn the department and the property management trading entity around. But what is very important is that those implementation plans should be properly communicated, it should be properly tracked, and from an oversight point of view, it would be important for this committee to focus on that and to regularly check progress on the implementation of those plans. And then we say create an adequate information technology environment. A lot of our discussion this morning was about the PMIS systems, the IE Works system, areas where there are not adequate systems, for instance with regard to irregular expenditure, managing an asset portfolio, systems for a proper asset register, systems for capital maintenance. So there should be a lot of focus and investment in this environment on systems. Then credible monthly financial statements, something that we really feel that it's something that the department should work towards and in fact all the entities, because all of them have material adjustments to the financial statements. So we think that the portfolio committee should focus on that. Then we're also saying that those charged with governance should properly review the financial statements. There should be a very vigorous review process of financial statements before it's ultimately released for audit. Capacitate internal audit. We had a lot of discussions about internal audit. So once again, we're highlighting it here in our key messages to the committee for you to remember that there should be a lot of focus on a strong internal audit unit which is fully capacitated to enable them to focus on all the required areas. Enhanced risk management activities. This is very important. In all of this, before internal audit can start to do proper internal audits, a proper risk assessment needs to be done in the department. And the risk assessment is actually the responsibility of management. So there should be a proper risk assessment by management. There should be a proper risk management committee in the department. We should just focus on the risks, what have been done about the risks, and that committee should also communicate to the audit committee, who similarly also focus on the risk. The department will need also a very strong audit committee. And then in terms of what we are proposing, that the portfolio committee should commit to going forward is to monitoring the progress in terms of the appointment of critical positions in the department, monitor the progress on the action plan and the turnaround plans, get regular feedback on that, get feedback in terms of if milestones are met, monitor the progress against the deadlines for finalizing the business case for the property management trading entity, something which we believe should be high on the agenda of the committee. Monitor the progress on the implementation of IE works. You know, you should get regular feedback on what is the progress on IE works, what is functional, what is not functional, and very important is that you should get feedback on is this system going to address all the system requirements as it was initially planned for. And then, of course, we would recommend that the committee commits to requesting monthly financial statements. Jefferson, I think with that being covered, I would then ask if there's any specific area which any of the members would like me to cover in more detail.
Thank you, Mr. Lorenzo. No members. There's a presentation. Questions, clarifications, Honourable Dreyer.
Madam Chair, yes. I want to thank the Office of the Auditor General for a very comprehensive presentation and also the additional documents. It really is very comprehensive and they go into detail that can keep us busy for a long time. So I thank them for that. But it's so comprehensive also because there are so many things wrong. I mean, it's lists and lists of concerns, the root causes, suggestions and so on. And it's very demotivating in a way. Now, I was wondering, this department, right in the beginning when Minister Tulas Tredi took office and he briefed the committee, and the first time I was present was in February this year, and he was disarmingly honest and he laid the cards on the table and he said, this department is in a critical care unit. It's very, very sick. And it needs urgent and dramatic turnaround strategy. And we were completely with him and I supported him on this. I appreciated his frankness, his openness. But now we're in October. It's already 10 months later. It's almost a year since he took office. I think he took office in October last year. And we would have expected to see it, although it's only halfway through with this year, with this exit, 31 March, to see some indications already of the beginning of a turning around strategy, and we don't see that. In fact, it's almost looks like it's getting worse in many indicators. So, I despair about this department, and I was wondering, when you have a motor accident, you go, they give you an assessment and they say yes, they can fix it, they can repair it, or sometimes they say no, it's beyond repair, they write it off, buy a new vehicle. And I was wondering, this department, has it not been damaged to an extent that it's actually irreparable? And whether you actually shouldn't disband the department and start from scratch and build a new department with new appointments as you build it up. And I know this may not be fair to the Auditor General, but, is it fixable? And maybe something that the Auditor General as well as the Deputy Minister would like to comment. But I was just wondering, should this department not disband and let's start from scratch afresh?
Honourable Deputy Minister?
In order to start from scratch, you need to know what you're starting from. So I think that's part of what we've been told by the Auditor General, and correctly so, is that we don't know what our assets are half the time. The reporting, the records, the immovable asset register, for instance, which is a key issue that we're seeking to address, is in such a mess that it's not, if you simply abandon and start from, I mean, I must say, being a diplomat, it's tempting to also wish the same thing, to buy a new vehicle. But that's not possible.
it's simply not possible. You've got to know what it is that you're dealing with. And like you, I mean, I share your sense of being overwhelmed by the detail. But I think that first of all, I think you're unfair to the minister. Okay, this is a retrospective report ending March 31, as you correctly said. Minister comes in October. Yes, he sort of did. And I think it would be an appropriate question next year to say, you said you're in the SIU, what is the evidence of improvement? And I think it would be unwise of both the minister or myself to suggest that come next year we're going to get a clean bill of health. Because the problems, are, as you correctly said, are so systemic, so deep-rooted and problematic that it's going to take time to turn things around. But the key question, and as Sir Jester is correctly saying, is next year will we have evidence of beginning to move in the right direction or not? And I think that's what we've got to commit to with your assistance. And I think the question is an appropriate one, and I didn't take it as a hostile question either. I think you're saying, you're also in despair. How do we together, as the portfolio committee, the ministry, the turnaround team in the department, the good officials in the department, and there are some, there are many in fact, how do we collectively, with the assistance of the AG and others, and the SIU, and a variety, how do we begin to show serious progress next year? And I think that's why the shortlist provided the key messages that we've got from the AG and the proposed commitments the things that the portfolio committee need to particularly watch. I think that those help us to say there's a million things and we can lose our way in all of this. But if we begin to make progress on these areas, and I think first of all it's just getting basic things, proper reporting, proper recording, improving the immovable assets register, and that I hope next year we can say we've got it sorted out, but I think it's complicated. I think certainly there'll be significant improvement. Whether it'll be sorted out completely, I don't know. The PMTE, it's a hanging matter. The portfolio management entity, trading entity. Remember, it was an interim entity when Treasury basically devolved the function of paying for rent. It was set up as a provisional entity. Under Minister Deutsch's, during Minister Deutsch's time, there was an attempt to look at how do we set up a serious entity, state-owned, but perhaps with its own CFO, with its own, you know, we're running a property portfolio, probably, I don't know how large the old mutual property portfolio is, but probably equivalent. I mean, we still have a very, very large property portfolio, but we're doing it in out-of-the-line department. It's crazy, really. And so so a key priority there is, and again, by this time next year, at least we need to have a plan and policy towards establishing a serious trading entity in its own right, I would think. I think that's an important thing. It's a discussion that we need to pick up from the time of Minister Deutsch, and then got disrupted by changes and so forth. There are numbers of other things. I'm going on and on. But what I'm trying to say is that we want the portfolio committee and the AG to be tough on us. We're not asking for soft handling. Tough, but constructive. We need to see maybe not even out of SIU, but at least an improvement in the condition of the patient, and to be able to report on that next year. And we must approach it collectively with a great deal of energy and concern. I mean, this is a massive department with significant assets and resources. You know, Transnets and Eskoms, for instance, are able to borrow on the market with their huge asset base. We've also got a huge asset base. But we're not looking after that asset base. We don't know half of what the asset base is. We're not maintaining it, as the AG has correctly said, and so on. So to take it seriously, this asset base, amongst other things we need to do as well, and to begin to make progress in that direction, I think is absolutely a priority. And that's why it's so useful, I think, the report that we've got, provided we don't get lost in the trees and we actually grasp some of the key pillars, which I think have been usefully isolated. So there was some attempt to restore to myself and to members of the committee, let's be depressed, but let's get out of the depression and seek to do positive things by identifying collectively what are the 5 or 6 key priorities that we can really focus on. You put pressure on us in the department and in the ministry to fix these things, insist on reports on these areas, and we from our side must do what we can. While I'm on the floor, once again, to thank the AG. You know, for instance, sometimes you're even a bit too kind to us. I mean, for instance, when you explain the underspending, it's not the biggest issue, but the underspending, the critical area of underspending, as you said, was an expanded public works program, some $357 million, in the infrastructure sector. And you correctly said, well, look, we're not the spending entity. It's municipalities and to some extent provinces, including Western Cape, by the way. And the city of Cape Town, by the way. Anyway, I won't go there for the moment, but I can. Now, it's true that's why there's been underspending, because they're not either spending the money or not, slow in accounting for it, and therefore to bring in the further tranches of the money. But I think that you need to say to the department, but okay, if that's the case, are you spending enough time and are you developing the capacity to empower municipalities, including the city of Cape Town, to effectively spend the money? If there's a problem there, and I have a sense, for instance, to be critical, I think it's one of the better ends of the department, the expanded public works end of the department, but there, I have a sense that they're a bit passive and collecting data, which is said, collecting data, rather than actively in the field, taking responsibility or assisting. So I think thank you for saying really the underspending is not our fault, but it's our responsibility, and we, so to use an example, so we're not looking for an easy ride from either AG or from yourselves as a portfolio committee. We want you to be tough, but as I say, constructive. It's easy to be destructive and to pull the plug on the patient in the ICU might be tempting. But doesn't solve the problem, because you've still got this massive portfolio. You've got these massive responsibilities. So we can't start from scratch, but we have to do a lot of scratching, a lot of remedial action, and really reinforce the capacity and develop a clear strategic plan. And I think, but I think another challenge has been that it's a department that's also had, in the recent period, a lot of leadership changes, not just at a ministerial level, but also at a senior level. And that, some of that might have to do with disciplinary actions and so forth, but it doesn't help developing a clear strategic focus and so on. And unfortunately, the minister and myself, at best, are just here until 2014, so like the rest of us. So that's also quite a short period for something. But what we need to do is to bed down before elections in 2014, at least a momentum that is moving in the right direction. So I think that's the minister's approach, Chairperson, and certainly an approach that needs critical support. Critical, tough, but support as well, constructive support. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honourable members, are there any follow-up questions? I think we've come to the end. Honourable Matoba.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. No, it's not a question. I think the Honourable Deputy Minister has covered the note. But also, I agree to say that maybe we must look at the next financial year, because also even on the issue of the EPWP model has been changed now, because it was a challenge. It's not counted to this particular report to say that maybe 40% must be given prior so that they have something to start. Maybe I agree with the Honourable Minister that we must join hands and work together as we have done and give support, because that new model, the Minister was also vocal to say that when we raise it, to say it must be changed, and it has been changed, it will be counted in the next financial year.
Thank you very much. Honourable Members, I think we have come to the end of the meeting. I just want to put it on record that as this portfolio committee, we were cautioned that we will get this disclaimer that we are talking about. And as this committee, we agree that this is a bad report. We are not going to defend anything. We agree that this report is bad. And I just want to say that, like my colleagues have said, the minister is not ready to protect anything or defend anything. I would like to say, as a portfolio committee member, when we raise challenges, can we sometimes make sure that we make recommendations and not just criticize and not come up with recommendations to say, if this can be done, maybe it might help. Because our role is to do our oversight work. For we are here on behalf of South Africans to come and be their eye and ear in a constructive way. There are suspicions that are taking place in the department. The CFO had to resign because of the problems that we are discussing about. That's why there's an acting CFO behind Mr. Srot from the Office of the Auditor General, the lady behind Mr. Srot. That's why there's an acting DG. Regional managers have been suspended. If we can open on page 314 of this annual report, 314. Outcomes, there are outcomes of disciplinary hearings. It says to us something is being done. There are 8 that are suspended without any salary to show the seriousness of it. And there are cases that are taking place. The only thing that we can do as this honorable members to assist the department is to deal with the tactics that are there of officials who are on suspension, who always come up with medical certificates to say, this guy is not ready to stand disciplinary. If we get common strategies of dealing with that problem, these cases will be done within a 3-4 months' time. But, if we are not coming up with strategies of dealing with such cases as members of parliament, we will not be doing our work. Because it's about service delivery. And can we next time not compare public works maybe with Home Affairs? Home Affairs, they deal only with paper. Here we are dealing with property. We are dealing with big monies. We are dealing with very, very big property. And let us assist the department by identifying properties that are out there so that we can be able to have a complete asset register. Because if we don't have a complete asset register, will always have these very problems. Ours is not to criticize, it's to build and assist. On this note, the meeting must adjourn until 2 o'clock. Let us be on time. Let us be there 1:45 for the afternoon meeting. And the afternoon meeting, 2M201. And if it comes to a push, get ready, bring your immune boosters. We might drag up to 9:10. If need be. Thank you very much.
Ah, isso é ruim. Yeah, yeah, yeah.